Right.
Chris.
I see it's 3:30, so we'll get started. Call to order the Des Moines Water Works Finance and Audit Committee meeting for Tuesday, June 14th. Ted, I'll let you take it away with item one.
Thank you, Joel. Today, item number one on the agenda is our annual audit for Des Moines Water Works, and Des Moines Water Works says the collection agent for the city in some cases, and also the pension audit, an annual process we go through every year. This year we have one extra piece in here. There's also, I think, some discussion today about a compliance audit related to the $1 million in COVID funding that we received from the CARES Act. So a bit of a different twist, but basically a similar presentation that we see each year at this time. I am going to hand it off to Michelle Holland, who I think, from the Waterworks perspective, oversees the auditing process. I think she'll probably hand it off pretty quickly to the auditors. But Michelle, why don't you take it from there?
Hey, thanks, Ted. And actually, yes, I am going to hand it off pretty quickly to Kristen from RSM, our audit firm. But I did want to give just a quick little summary of kind of what happens between 12/31 and June 14th. Certainly we close our year as of 12/31, and just a quick timeline. This year we actually had a preliminary audit or preliminary field work done in January, where we had a couple of auditors here for a week on site, just going through some selections and things like that, just getting kind of a jump on the audit stuff. Then the next few months, the finance group spends quite a bit of time, preparing work papers, reconciliations, pulling documentation, all of that sort of thing, really along with kind of everything else we do as far as, paying people, closing out the year with our W-2s, paying vendors and all of that sort of thing. So just, some added work happens in those first couple of months, with a pretty big push in March of really kind of finalizing and buttoning everything up. Then usually the first 2 weeks in April is when our main field work is, when we have auditors on site again, usually two, sometimes three, that are here asking a lot of questions, looking for a lot of information. And then they're here for about 2 weeks. Then the following week, we have the pension audit, which is not quite as huge of a time constraint on us, at least Des Moines Water Works staff. And then also during that week, we still are following up with the financial team, audit team, and answering questions, getting through some things. Then after that, we spend a few weeks, actually I spend a little bit of time updating all of the tables and writing the actual report. So really the first report that you have, which I hope you've read cover to cover because it's fabulous. So anyway, that's been written. We send that off to RSM, and then they thoroughly review it by their team. They come back to us after a couple of weeks, and we discuss some of the changes, some of the things that they've seen that they might want to change. And we talk through a few things and then basically firm up this draft copy of the reports that you have in front of you today. So, a lot of bit of work going on really from the 31st until now. So with that, I will hand it over to Kristen from RSM.
Thank you, Michelle. Also with me, I have Greg. I'll be handling most of the presentation, but I did certainly want to recognize Greg as well. He serves as the engagement manager on the audit with me on the primary audit. Michelle did a very nice job recapping the audit process. She's correct. We're going to go through this, in a very condensed timeframe, to be honest. I mean, we'll hit the highlights, hopefully, and certainly field any questions, but the amount of work that goes in, both by her team as well as ours, isn't perhaps translated sometimes in the just the content as far as the size of the report and things like that. So no, Michelle's team and Amy's team is great to work with as far as their preparedness. They always do a nice job being ready for us, working through questions with us, et cetera. So that being said, I'm going to go ahead and jump through the deliverables. I don't know if everyone has it in front of them, or I can have Greg share his screen to walk through them, whatever would be easiest, as I kind of, my plan was to go through some of the information in each of the documents. So whichever you think would be easiest. I don't know if everyone is in their computer. I can walk them through it, or we can pull it up.
I have it here, Kristen, in paper form, but I think it might be easiest if we could pull it up and maybe Greg could kind of keep up with you where you're at and see sort of where you are.
All right. Yes. All right, Greg, I will do my best to just kind of walk you through maybe what pages I'm going to highlight. So as was mentioned, the first document here is the financial statements. So this is going to be the financial report for the Des Moines Water Works. Greg, if you want to go ahead and please jump to page one in this report. And I'm sorry, I'm looking at a printed copy as well, so I don't have the PDF numbers. But so here, while this is in draft form, consistent with what we've done in the past, assuming there aren't any significant questions or changes, usually we do finalize upon the completion of this meeting, but everything here is still in draft form. So this is the audit opinion, still referred to as an unmodified opinion under AICPA standards, more commonly known as a clean opinion. So we have issued a clean opinion here, meaning the financials are presented in accordance with GAAP. There was a new SAS that was released this year. There's actually some additional content included in the auditor's opinion this year. Certainly still the same key topics as far as what our responsibilities are as it relates to the audit, management's responsibility as it relates to the financials. But as you go through this, you'll see there are a few items that they just added as far as to what to include. Next, starting on page three, I won't go through this piece, but I always like to emphasize, so this report includes management's discussion and analysis. I would echo Michelle, hopefully everybody had time to read it page one to page back, but if not, be realistic. This is an excellent place, probably 10 pages or less, to read. It's exactly what it sounds like. Management has gone through and analyzed the 2021 results compared to prior year. You do issue comparative financials, so it's easy to follow along as far as looking at that balance sheet income statement. And here they go through and analyze pretty much every single key line item in them and telling you, here's why revenues in this category went up or down. Here's why expenses went up, maybe where the organization incurred more or less costs and expenses and what some of the drivers were. So while this section, you'll see it's technically unaudited because it's intended to be a narrative with feedback on that. Certainly we have audited the numbers, but excellent place to look through for what I would say is a quick recap. I'm sure it's touching upon items you all have already gone through together throughout the year, but an excellent recap again of the whys kind of on the current year results. So jumping ahead to page 15, please, Greg. This is the comparative statement of net position. So here you'll see, also known as the balance sheet, total assets. You'll see a slight increase year over year. Really looking at some of the categories, though, current assets, you'll see that went up a fair amount. And some of that you can see in areas immediately below that. So we'll talk about a little bit later, obviously, Waterworks paid off its debt, which released some of the previous investment and long-term restrictions and things like that you had related to those. Operating cash also just fluctuates based on how the operating revenue reserves are moving. So you'll see there's some changes between current and long-term cash held. Capital assets usually increases each year as additional infrastructure improvements are made. So overall, slight increase in total assets compared to the prior year. Moving on to the next page, this is liabilities and net position or equity. So significant changes you'll see in liabilities are again related to that debt. So majority, almost all of the bonds were paid off. So you'll see a significant decrease in the liabilities related to that. It had a domino effect as well on some of the deferred revenue that was related to the debt service revenue from those cities was then all recognized. So that caused quite the decrease. You'll also see that some of your liabilities as it relates to your net pension plans, IPERS, as well as the Des Moines Waterworks plan, usually due to some positive investment results seen in those the last couple of years, the liabilities from a financial reporting perspective for those decreased. Moving on to page 17, you'll see the comparative income statement. So operating revenues saw a nice increase this year. You know, I think it's discussed in MD&A. Consumption went up 2-3% this year, and then combined with just the standard utility rate increases is one of the key drivers there on the water sales. Again, some of those other operating sections, again, I mentioned the revenue recognition with the early bond payoff, the cities that were associated with those paid in their amounts related to that. And so you'll see revenue recognized related to those pieces. Operating expenses, collectively, they were pretty consistent year over year. You'll see a slight decrease. And again, that MD&A will kind of walk you through each specific category more carefully. But overall, operating expenses were slightly down this year, which is pretty positive compared to, I know some of my clients have seen just with a lot of the supply chain issues, et cetera, have seen some upticks in some of the supplies costs they've experienced. Down in the other revenue section, what Ted had mentioned, and we'll talk about it in the compliance audit, you will see the grant revenue there reflected, $978,000. So that is that FEMA CARES related funding that you all did receive to help recover the costs that were incurred during the initial phases of COVID. Page 18, I don't usually spend too much time on the cash flow statement. What I would just highlight, usually for an entity that sets its own rates, et cetera, similar to private sector entities, that top section there, net cash provided by operating activities. You know, from a cash flow perspective, is the cash generated for operations sufficient to cover it? Again, those operating costs. So you would want to see that as a positive number. So obviously you all are doing well there as far as positive cash flow specific to the operations. Pages 20 and 21, we will also go through, as Michelle mentioned, there's a separate pension audit. Their financials are included within Waterworks. So here is the statement of plan net position. So again, this is specifically the frozen pension plan that you all still sponsor for employees. You can see here investments increased in 2021. And then moving on to the next page, obviously compared to your primary financials, an income statement for a pension plan is very straightforward. Additions are going to simply consist of contributions into the plan and how the investments performed. And then the deductions out are primarily going to be those distributions out. So here you can see what contributed to the increase in the pension balance this year. As far as the financials, Greg, since you're driving, if you want to go ahead and jump to page 35 while he's doing that. So I'm going to skip the first few footnotes. You know, what I would say is footnote one goes through standard required disclosures as far as describing your entity, significant accounting policies, how you account for transactions. Note two goes through detailed information on your investments, just letting people know what do you invest your money in, are there any risks with the types of investments you hold, et cetera. There's also detailed disclosures on outstanding debt, capital assets held. So here, I just wanted to highlight this note five. Again, your employees, there's two pension plans involved, the frozen single employer plan for Des Moines Water Works, and then the employees that participate in IPERS now. So as I noted, you'll actually see here, you can see current year compared to prior year. The position in your plan actually flipped to a net pension asset this year. So equity in the trust actually exceeded right now what the actuary is projecting as those future costs. Again, a lot of plans saw some nice investment returns. IPERS, you'll see, I mean, last year there was a $15 million liability and that dropped to $300,000. So, you know, that can fluctuate year over year. That's why there's these deferred outflows and inflow categories. That's meant to try and minimize the effect that some of those swings that can occur each year. But just so you know, both of those plans did have pretty positive results this year. Let's see. On page 37, I won't spend too much time on the pension piece, but just so you know, page 37, and this will be in the pension report as well. You know, again, for your plan, the actuary is who comes in and estimates what they expect your total pension liability to be long-term out. So here in the top half of that chart, you can see how their projection, which is going to be the total piece, moved year over year. Obviously, the largest increase each year is usually just the interest calculated on the liability. And then that middle section is a recap of the income statement. So when I say the equity in the plan exceeded the actuary's estimate, that's how that lands with an asset. And then that difference is what is recognized on Waterworks financials. So again, you'll see, we don't really use the term funded ratio anymore, but that percentage there at the bottom that compares, how does equity compare to the actuary's liability? That's where you'll see, you actually exceeded 100% this year. So the rest of the financial statements, let's see, I think I was going to touch upon on page 45. You also have what's referred to as the OPEB liability, other post-employment benefits. So that's allowing employees or retirees to stay on health benefits and the liability recognized there. So on page 48, please, Greg, you'll see there's quite a few disclosures that just walk through the information about the plan. The financial components, you'll see the liability stayed pretty consistent year over year. So that's currently about a $19 million liability on Waterworks financials, just projecting what are the long-term costs for offering that benefit to employees and retirees. Really, the remainder of the footnotes, again, standard required disclosures. On page 52, you'll see more of this is your RSI section. So this provides maybe less of a narrative, but just more of a, if numbers are your game, a more year over year, you can see for OPEB, pension, et cetera, kind of how that's tracking year over year. So that's kind of a nice way to look and see how are your costs in those OPEB and pension areas fluctuating year over year. Next, I'll go ahead and move into the compliance. Oh, I'm sorry. There was one more thing I wanted to note. Just of interest on page 56, just to clarify, I mean, it's good to see, I'm sure you're all aware of this, but one of the disclosures you have for pension plans is simply you are required to show how did your contributions compare to either what you're statutorily required to contribute or what does the actuary recommend you contribute. So for you all, I mean, this is something nice to be able to see that obviously you contribute each year for both your internal plan and the IBERS plan, what you're required or expected to contribute each year. So moving into the compliance report, as Ted mentioned, so the reason we did this year, the federal government does require that if you expend more than $750,000 in federal grant expenditures, you're required to have your auditors perform what's called a compliance audit or a federal grant audit in compliance with uniform grant guidance. So in this document, you'll see here the first few pages, if you look at pages 1 and 2, this is called the report on internal controls. So this refers to the financial statement audit. But what this says is in an audit performed in accordance with government auditing standards, which yours is required to be, this is where if material weaknesses or significant deficiencies had come up in the audit, this is where you would see those noted. There were none. You'll see, you know, as a reminder, and the letter emphasizes this, the purpose of a financial statement audit is not to give an opinion on internal controls. So it clearly says that that's not the purpose nor the design of an audit to express an opinion. However, the standards do require us, as we take those into consideration when we're performing the audit procedures, that if we became aware of any of those matters, we are required to communicate those to you. So again, obviously that's a positive to note, no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies identified. Moving on to pages 3 and 4, this is a similar letter issued, but it's specific to the compliance audit. So this would be a new one that you have not historically seen. So very similar concept, specific to the testing we performed on how you all expended your federal grant dollars. We're required to report if we became aware of any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies, meaning there was a lack of controls on how that grant funding was expended. And this letter would also reflect if we actually identified any material instances of noncompliance. So if grant funding had been used for anything unallowable, et cetera. Now, similar to a financial statement audit, this audit is performed on a sampling basis. So we don't look at 100% of the transactions. But again, based on the testing performed, no unallowable or noncompliance matters noted. Moving on, really, that's the majority. What I should show here. So this is the schedule of expenditures of federal awards. So this is where you're just required to disclose what were those federal grants that you received and expended this year. So that first one there is the one that we audited as what we call our major programs. So this was the funding received through the Iowa Department of Homeland Security that we subjected to testing this year. And then really the remainder of the report, Greg, if you could please go down a little bit, I'll show them the schedule of findings and question costs. Keep going. There you go. So this page, it really is just a nice one-page summary of everything I just walked you through. So it's a nice recap of, okay, in the financial statement audit, what kind of audit opinion was issued? Were there any material weaknesses, significant deficiencies, any material noncompliance? And you'll see those are all checked no. Same for the federal awards. It's a very similar recap. Were there any control issues or noncompliance? No. The only one I would clarify there at the bottom, sometimes we get questions. So one of the questions is, did you all qualify as a low-risk oddity? And the answer is no. That's not to mean something has gone wrong in the past. It's simply there are very explicit criteria that all have to be yes answers to receive a yes there. And one of them is, has this organization required a single audit in the previous 2 years, which you all have not. So I don't want that to seem like that's an indication of a previous problem. Simply by the fact that you all have not had a single audit in the previous 2 years means you're not a low-risk auditee. Moving into, I'll go ahead and go to the next document. So we call it the post-TCWG. That's simply communications to those charged with governance. So this just touches upon certain topics that we are required to communicate to you all at the conclusion of the audit. Here on this first page, it just kind of serves as a reminder on those responsibilities. So again, the things that were outlined really in the arrangement letter at the start of the audit, what are our responsibilities, which is going to certainly be following the auditing standards that we're required to follow, but also what are the responsibilities that management and those charged with governance have as it relates to the financial statements and their accuracy. Moving down, we'll see the significant accounting practices, significant estimates. I know we've touched upon this in the past. This is just simply to remind you there are areas in the financials, and you'll see examples listed out there, that have a component of an estimate or subjectivity to them. Management is happy to estimate some component. So maybe it's just not a straightforward black-white transaction as far as purchase, cash in, cash out. Very common in financials. We highlight it here just to note that we do take a look at it as part of the audit. No issues or concerns came up as far as we're really looking at, one, do the estimates seem consistent with the industry and your policies that you've adopted in these areas. The next section, we usually report back if there are any audit adjustments or uncorrected misstatements. So again, this is a lot to the work that your team is doing in preparation of the audit. You'll see there were no audit adjustments that came up, meaning the original trial balance we were provided with is consistent with that final audit product, and then no uncorrected misstatements. The next paragraph just simply refers to the fact that there is a separate compliance report out there that we just went through. So it just acknowledges that any internal control matters would be addressed in that packet. And then the remainder of this document is really just the representation letter. So as a reminder, the last step in the audit process is that those that are involved in the financial statement audit go through and sign a representation that really the financial statements and the information we were provided with are accurate to the best of their knowledge. Okay, pension report. I'll go through this. Well, I can pause. I can keep going. I'll go through this one probably quite a bit more quickly. There's going to be a lot of repeat information. I can go ahead and move through this, and then we can just cover any questions at the end. So the pension report, which again, most of this information is in the Waterworks financials. You'll see a draft audit opinion. This is also unmodified, meaning in accordance with GAAP. The financials starting on page 3, really, probably about the most straightforward balance sheet you can have. The one asset is obviously the investments held in the pension plan. So you'll see those saw an increase this year. And again, the income statement on the next page we touched upon. Contributions and deductions, benefit payments out were very consistent year over year. The plan still saw an increase. You'll see investment income was down slightly compared to prior year. Your plan reflects probably what you would expect in a frozen plan at this point, meaning your benefit payments are actually exceeding employer contributions, just given the nature of what your census looks like and that participants is going to just continue to decrease. Footnotes are very similar as far as footnote 1 goes through just a detailed description of what is the plan, what do you have to do to participate in, et cetera, what are the benefits that are still offered. It's going to provide detailed information on the net pension liability. Obviously, in note 4 there, that's a key part of just when I say the actuary estimates your liability for you, there's a lot of key actuarial assumptions involved in that. So you're required to disclose what were all those key actuarial assumptions. So that's all disclosed in note 4. Similar to Waterworks financials, you provide information on investments starting in note 6. So what is the plan invest in? What types of investments? What risks may or may not be associated with those investments? So all those required disclosures have been addressed here. And then similar at the very end, what you saw in Waterworks, this just provides a multi-year recap of what has the total pension liability done based on year over year, based on the actuary's estimates? And then again, a recap of what has the income statement performance done year over year? So that's just kind of, again, a nice like multi-year trend you can look at there. Moving in, the next deliverable is very similar, just with each audit we're required to issue this. So this information is going to be very similar. Greg, if you went ahead and go scroll down, obviously the significant estimates here would be those, the fair value of the investments and the actuarial assumptions and the pension audit as well. No audit adjustments or uncorrected misstatements came up. And again, you'll see the rep letter is what will be the conclusion of the audit process. And then the last three documents in the packet, we don't usually go through this, but as Ted mentioned, with the relationship with the city as far as the billings and collections done for the other services provided, there is a cash basis report that is simply issued for those three collection areas done that just recaps what were the cash collections for each of those and the distributions back to them. So those are pretty straightforward. I know that was a lot of information, but I'm happy to field any questions that you have on any of those reports or the audit process itself.
Am I understanding correct that the audit of the federal funds is something we haven't had in recent years?
Correct. Yep. You all, I don't know. I might need Michelle's help on the last time you all might have had one, but I know it. Yeah. I can't recall, I guess, the last time we had to do a single audit for you all.
I think it was for the floods of 08, of 2008. So probably shortly after that, we had to do one.
And maybe a question more kind of for staff, but I also noted the decrease in operating expenses and was surprised by that as well. To what do we attribute that?
I'd have to look, but one of the big things in the in operating expenses is what I'm going to call noise with our pension plan and our retiree medical plans. You know, those are actuarial reports that they give us. And so there's a lot of these deferred inflows and deferred outflows. You know, truly what the cash is that's going out for the Des Moines Water Works pension and for IPERS is pretty consistent year over year. I think one was $1.4 million and the other was $1.2 or $1.3 million. Like I said, pretty consistent, but then there's all these deferred inflows and outflows that we need to recognize, as well as that net pension liability that went from a very large liability to, in essence, a net asset when you put the Des Moines Water Works pension and IPERS together. So a lot of that is recognized then as a credit to the income statement. So certainly that's a lot of what's going on in the income statement this year compared to last. You know, certainly the lines like the labor and benefits, and I don't actually have it right in front of me, are fairly comparable year over year. You know, labor might be a little lower or pretty flat, and partly because some of the labor would probably be charged to capital projects as opposed to operating projects. So, you know, we also have that kind of labor switch between capital initiatives as well as just general operations.
And is it unusual to see, I noted a large increase in the cash on hand. Anything noteworthy or unusual about that?
I'll answer that. And then Michelle can add, you know, some of that is just the timing of our capital expenditures and the capital projects, because of course we're collecting revenue in our rates to pay for those capital, and we didn't get through all of our capital projects in 2021. So that accounts for some of that cash increase. Michelle, do you have anything to add to that?
I believe also in some of our investments, you know, like our board reserves and things like that. I think at the end of the year, we had more in a cash position than in an invested position. So just as of 12/31, we had more sitting in cash that was waiting to be invested. So, you know, that can kind of vary depending on when.
Yeah. And that's a good point too. And frankly, you know, that was at the recommendation of our investment advisors, because interest rates were quite low. And, you know, when in my discussions with the bank, they were discouraging us from locking up large amounts in low interest rates, instead waiting for the interest rates to come up, which they have done, as we know. So some of those cash funds have been moved now to investments.
Great. Those are all the questions I had. Kristen, thank you for the good and thorough report. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Any other comments from staff or from the accountants?
You know, I would just recognize Michelle and the whole finance team, and also Kristen and Greg's team. Michelle talked about the work during the audit and preparation for the audit and once the auditors arrive, but really it's to get a clean opinion like that. It's hard work throughout the year to make sure that we do things properly and have strong internal controls. So kudos to the finance team.
Well said. I agree.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Michelle, to you and your team.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm lucky to work with a really good team here. So really just next steps would be making these reports final. Then we would issue the final reports to you all. And at the June board meeting, you would basically receive and file the audit reports.
We will look to see that on the agenda in June. Anything else before we move on to item two? All right, Ted, I think that's you. You're up.
Yeah, just a couple quick things from me, Joel. First, I will reiterate your thanks to Amy and Michelle and their team, and Kristen and Greg and their team for all the work on the audit. We joke a little bit about reading it word for word, but I find especially the pension plan audit is fascinating information about what's going on with our team and our pension. There's a lot of really good information in there. So thank you for all the work there and getting that put together every year. The other thing that I would share from a finance and audit perspective, Joel, is that we have started working on the budget for 2023. And one of the first things we do when we work on the budget is reach out to our chemical vendors and try to get a sense of what chemical prices are likely to do in the coming year. And the news there is not good. Not surprisingly, given the inflationary times we're in, but it's largely due to trucking and the expense of delivering the chemicals. We're getting preliminary pricing for our water treatment chemicals that range anywhere from a 30% to a 100% increase in the cost for some of our chemicals. Now, fortunately, some of the highest ones are chemicals we don't use as much of in terms of total dollar amount, but some fairly significant potential cost increases in our primary chemicals like lime and sodium hypochlorite, which is our disinfectant.
I think you answered it there, Ted, but what are the big ones in terms of expenses? What chemicals are our biggest expenses?
You know, I think our biggest expense in terms of an individual chemical would be lime from the lime softening process. Some of the other big ones, though, that we use the largest quantities of would be sodium hypochlorite, which is liquid bleach, which we use for disinfection at all of our treatment plants, and then ferric chloride, which is a coagulant that we use at the McMullen and Sailorville plant. Probably CO2 also, which we use at the two conventional plants, Fluor and McMullen. That's kind of off the top of my head. One of the biggest increases I saw was in powdered activated carbon, which on total probably isn't a huge number, but it's increased pretty significantly. Potential for our chemical budget to go up by as much as 50% overall, based on these initial. Now, we always get initial numbers that are a little higher than they turn out being later in the year when we bid them. We usually bid our chemicals in October, but this is probably the highest initial numbers I've ever seen. So just be prepared for that. We'll certainly work with them and refine those. And of course, when we bid them, we sometimes get other providers. You know, we usually go to the chemical supplier we're using today and get a sense of where they're headed, and then we'll bid them and we'll get prices, competitive pricing from hopefully numerous vendors. So anyway, I just share that as a kind of on the horizon
thing. Yeah, I appreciate it. You mentioned the trucking costs, not surprising there, given all the factors we know. I don't expect you to know the full supply chain, but are most of these chemicals domestically sourced? Are there any that you know of that, you know, is require import?
Well, great question.
A mere curiosity, I suppose, but
I do know that we have sourced powdered activated carbon from overseas in the past. I don't think that worked out very well, though. And I think that we have been sourcing all of our chemicals domestically, but I see both Nathan, Casey, and Mike McKernan are on, who are probably closer to that question than me. Do either one of you gentlemen know if we are sourcing any chemicals from abroad?
Ted, I don't know. This is Mike. I don't know of any that are coming from abroad. And I don't know if Nathan's got different information, but at least those are my recollections, all domestic.
Okay. Very good. I don't think so, Joel. I think that to the best of my knowledge today, all domestic.
Yeah. But apparently coming from far enough away that they're feeling the bite of fuel and everything else, I'm sure. So, okay. I appreciate the update on that, Ted.
You're welcome. I think that's it for me today, Joel.
Okay. Is that it until public comment? Any public comment? I seriously doubt it, given who I see in the meeting.
I don't see that there are any public. Michelle, no one there with you, is there?
Nope, I'm here alone.
All right. Well, again, Michelle, thank you very much. Congrats to your team on getting to this point, and we will look to see that audit on the agenda in June. And unless there's anything else, we will adjourn.
Very good.
Thanks all.
Bye.
Thank you.